Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Beyond the Veil, a Bible class that we are going through here at the Campbell Road Church of Christ, where we look at the tabernacle, the temple, and the glorious presence of God. Today, we're looking at two lessons. We're going to be looking at Lesson 22 and Lesson 23. You know, both lessons are very similar in their subject matter. Lesson 22 points us, leads us into Lesson 23. And Lesson 23, what was more designed to be a reflection of what we read together as a class. Lesson 23 introduces Revelation 21 and 22 and the imagery we read up about heaven and the dwelling place of God. And again, it's more of a reflection type of class where we would read the text and talk about what we see, talk about the imagery that's pointed there, maybe think back to where we've seen this before. And so I thought today we would study these together. We'd look at Lesson 22, and then we'd make a few observations on what we see in Lesson 23. And that may be something that's more, maybe better suited for you to go through at home, Lesson 23, to read the text of Revelation and to make some personal observations and reflections on the text. Lesson 22 is entitled, Our Hope Beyond the Veil. The Hebrew writer helps us see our hope for the future as God's people. He helps us visualize the ultimate goal of being in the very presence of God. We're looking to begin in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning of verse 19. The writer says, This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. There's so much packed within these two verses. But if there's one central point to these two verses, one central thought, it's this. We have an incredible hope in Jesus. How would you define hope? What words would you use to define what hope is? You know, in some ways, hope is a longing. It's a desire for something that is not currently present. You know, today may not be good. I may be in the midst of a storm or in turmoil. And so hope looks to the future. It looks towards something that is not currently present. But it's not just wishful thinking. It's not dreaming, daydreaming. Hope also involves this element of expectation. Of anticipation. It's a trust that what I'm looking for will come about. That's the great thing, is that hope can make such a tremendous difference in our life because it involves such a deep element of faith and trust in the promises of God. Hope is what can help us look beyond the troubles of today and to fix our thinking on something we can't see with our eyes, but to fix our thinking and our lives towards something which is to come. And thus hope is able to help change our attitudes, to keep our thinking positive, our outlook positive, as we are focusing beyond the troubles of today towards the promise of tomorrow. But there are many who, in times of trials, in the midst of the storm, give up on those promises, lose sight of the future that is to come. They lose their hope because of the troublesome present that they are facing. Well, the Hebrew writer says, the hope you have in Jesus is one which is to be described here as this anchor of the soul. Anchor. Think about that heavy anchor, which is able to keep a giant ship from drifting into the sea. It's able to help you hold fast, to stay steady in your faith, to stay firm in your confidence about what is to come. It is this anchor which weighs down the soul. It is sure and steadfast. It's not going anywhere. It is immovable, firmly grounded in the promises of God. For our consideration, though, I want us to consider what he says before we circle back to this idea of this steadfastness of hope. The writer says the hope we have is a hope that's sure and steadfast. He enters, in verse 19, he ends by saying, one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us. Think about this. Our whole class is entitled Beyond the Veil. And here the writer says our hope has entered beyond the veil, within the veil where Jesus is. Well, where has Jesus gone? Where has Jesus entered? The writer answers that in chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 24. He says that Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one. No, he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Where is this beyond the veil? Where has Jesus entered? He has gone to the very presence of God. Jesus has gone to heaven itself. And our writer in chapter 6, verse 20 says, not just that Jesus has entered into heaven, but he's gone into heaven, beyond the veil, into the presence of God as a forerunner for us. You know, a forerunner is someone who goes ahead of time. And he goes and he prepares the way for those who are going to follow. John the Baptist is called a forerunner. He came before Jesus and he came preaching and teaching to prepare the hearts of the men and women for Jesus. Here, Jesus is called a forerunner. He's gone ahead of time into the presence of God and prepared the way with the expectation that we will follow him there. Think of this. Let me just say it again, and then I want to read a text and see if you catch the similarities here. Jesus is a forerunner. He went first. He went ahead of us. He went and he prepared the path, the way in which we will go. And he went to this place with the expectation that we're going to follow him there. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Do you see the language? I'm going ahead. I'm preparing a place. And I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I'm going and you're going to come. You're going to come with me. You're going to this place as well. That's the language. That's the imagery here. Jesus has gone beyond the veil into the presence of God. Jesus has gone to heaven. As where he is now, at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And he has gone to prepare the way for us. He prepared the way through his blood. He prepared the way through Calvary. He prepared the way through the sacrifice for our sins, so that in the future, when the time is ready, we will go and we'll follow him there to home. Isn't that an incredible thought? Doesn't that change the way you see Jesus? Preparing the way, Jesus preparing our pathway home. In fact, look at chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10. The writer will bring about the same kind of thought about Jesus preparing the way home and what difference that ought to bring to us. In Hebrews chapter 10, beginning verse 19, he says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through his veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and the good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You kind of get the conclusion he makes. Since Jesus has gone ahead, since Jesus has prepared the way through his blood, through his sacrifice of himself, it ought to change the way we live every day, drawing near to God in prayer, drawing near to offer our sincere devotion with hearts, with a full assurance of faith, hearts sprinkled clean no longer living in sin, but no, we're seeking a right relationship with God, a pure relationship with God, and we're holding fast our faith because we're confident of what is to come. And let us build up one another and strengthen each other because of the glorious hope we have in Christ. You see, what Jesus has done in preparing our future makes a tremendous difference on how we live day by day today. But there is a thought for us to think about, and that's verse 19. Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Now think of that. We've already defined the holy place as heaven. Jesus has gone into heaven. He's prepared the way by his blood. The writer says we have not just a hope that we would enter into this holy place. It's not just wishful, a pleading. I hope, I plead, it would be nice. I really want to enter into this holy place. I really want to go to heaven. It's no, you and I can have confidence. Confidence today that we will go into this holy place. John wrote the same thing in 1 John chapter 5. He says in verse 13, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. You may know that you are saved. Confidence. Confidence in your soul's salvation. Confidence in where you will be when Jesus returns. Where you will be taken when Jesus returns. The confidence that I will be taken on to glory and I will go into the presence of God itself into heaven. Confidence. Blessed assurance is the song that we sing. Do you have that confidence? Do you know where you'll be when Jesus returns? Do you know where you will go once you die? Are you confident that you'll go on to heaven? Do you have that confidence? It's not a feeling. I feel like I'm saved. I feel like I'm doing the right thing. No, that confidence we have comes from everything back here in this text in Hebrews 10. Our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our bodies washed with pure water. We've obeyed the Lord, put him on in baptism. And we continue steadfast in our faith. We're not wavering in what we believe. Holding fast the confession, that confession of our hope and that confession of our faith. And we're doing the best that we can to love God and love our brethren, love our neighbor as ourselves. We're just doing our best day by day to honor Jesus and to follow the King. And because he has given his blood in verse 19, because he has died on Calvary, I can have a confidence that even though I don't live perfect, even though I'm not going to do everything perfectly, though I try my best to live every day pleasing to God, I know that if I've given my life to him and I'm following him, I know that when he comes, I'm going to go home. I'm going home to heaven. I'm going beyond the veil into the very presence of God. You know, these thoughts of the hope you have laid up in heaven, stored in heaven, what's awaiting in heaven, is echoed all through the New Testament. The book of Philippians, chapter 3, Paul uses the language of a citizenship when he says in Philippians 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Our citizenship, where we belong, where we are heading, is heaven. We're heaven bound. You might remember in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. For, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Make your goal, make your aim, make your life's ambition. Focus on heaven, on being home with God. You think about Colossians 3. When he says in verse 1, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. And so keep thinking about things above. Set your mind on things above. Seeking things above. It's calling, this general calling for us to get our eyes and our minds and our hearts off of the things of this world and to set it and to fix it on things in heaven. Maybe we might think about what Paul said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. His heavenly kingdom. The trust and the confidence. I'm going home. You get the idea. Let me ask you a question. How often do you think about heaven? How much time do you spend thinking about heaven? Have you thought about what it's going to be like? Have you thought about what you're going to see? Who you're going to see? Can you imagine what it would be like with no evil, with no pain, with no suffering? In fact, that's really how the Bible ends and what lesson 23 is all about. It's pointing us to the grand conclusion of a home in heaven. Let me read a few verses. And bear in mind, not just the glory and the beauty of beyond this veil, where Jesus has gone as our forerunner, but as I'm reading and you're picturing heaven in your mind, also just think about what we've studied through this class. Studied about the veil, studied about the tabernacle, studied about the temple. Revelation 21 and verse 2, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall no more be. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and the gates will never be shut by day. And there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And an angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down through the middle of the street in the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the trees were for the healings of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and the servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, that they may enter the city by the gates. The Spirit and the bride says, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires the water of life without price. What do you see? How bright. How glorious. How incredible. The imagery takes us back to the garden. The trees, the river. It points us to the imagery of the tabernacle and the temple, the light, the being in God's presence. It is meant to be this culmination of God's story. God dwelt with his people in the very beginning, and here in the very end, God is dwelling with his people again. He is in their presence. And just as it was beautiful and just so peaceful, harmonious in the garden, it's going to be eternally more. Infinitely more in heaven. No evil, no pain, no sin, no temptation. No, we will be in God's presence in this glorious place, free from any darkness, from any sin, from any shame. We're going to be in this place and the real temple beyond the veil, seeing God face to face forever. So maybe to conclude, to read again. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Our hope has gone beyond the veil. That's where it is. That's where it rests. That's where we're aiming. That's where we're focusing our heart's attention, our focus, our greatest desires. We are heading beyond the veil. And until that day comes, our hope holds us steadfast like an anchor. We're not shifted and moved by the storms and the troubles of today. No, because we know where we're headed. We're hanging on to that hope. One day he's going to come and he's going to take us home. Thank you so much for studying with me today. I hope this has given you something good to think about. In fact, it may be good to revisit Lesson 23 and to read and think through Revelation 21 and 22 to think about the connections made, pointing back to the tabernacle, pointing back to the temple, pointing back to that Garden of Eden, and how the end of the Bible seems to wrap up, to come back all the way around and help us see how God's desire to dwell with man will one day be fully accomplished. What a wonderful day that will be. Come back and study with me. We have one more lesson in this class, lesson 24, kind of wrapping up what all this means for us today. So come back and study one more lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you and studying with you again soon. Thank you.